history segment for you since I have just a little bit of time today. You are listening to the Mighty 690 once again, and it was on this date back in 1914 that there was a day of very heavy casualties suffered in the Battles of the Frontiers, which was a series of four battles fought back in World War I, but it was on August 22nd, 1914, as French and German forces face off on the Western Front during the opening month of the First World War. The isolated encounters of the previous day move into full-scale battle in the forests of the Ardennes at the Charolais near the junction of the Sambre and Meuse rivers. And it was a pretty devastating series of conflicts. You know, a thing you got to understand about war in this era, especially in the early 1900s, is that it was not usually a terribly devastating state of affairs. There wasn't usually a whole lot of loss of life. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman wrote an excellent book about this called On Killing. And basically, these older wars, especially pre-1900s, there wasn't a whole lot of loss of life. There was a lot of surrenders, and there was a lot of sort of stalemates, and there's a lot of charges that ended up with you know, a lot of injuries, and then units surrendering, that sort of thing. The only exception being if one side would flee, then there would usually end up being a lot of casualties. There's something biological in us. When we see a fleeing enemy, we tend to want to go after them and finish them off, I suppose. But that's about the only situation where, in old school wars, where we would want to, you know, just absolutely devastate the enemy is when they were fleeing. But you know, a German soldier's diary entry really captures how horrifying the chaos of these frontline battles of the frontiers were. The German 4th and 5th armies were squaring off against the French 3rd and 4th, and what he wrote was, "Nothing more terrible could be imagined. We advanced much too fast. A civilian fired at us. He was immediately shot. We were ordered to attack the enemy flank in a forest of beaches. We lost our direction. The men were done for. They opened fire. Shells came down on us like hail." And that's actually another interesting point to bring up. This was the first war where we used artillery to the maximum potential that it had. Artillery was actually artillery was responsible for about 75% of wartime deaths during World War I and especially World War II. But it's a little bit easier to fire a howitzer at something you're not looking at than it is to point a gun at somebody and pull the trigger. The Battle of the Frontiers was the second of the so-called Battle of the Ardennes and some of those other Sambre and Meuse rivers. Four bloody conflicts fought over the course of as many days between German, French, and British forces on the Western Front in France. After France, forces were destroyed by the advancing German left wing. Two simultaneous actions were launched on August 21st and 25th. In the Ardennes and further north at the village of Ciroli. The Battle of Ciroli saw General Charles Lanzerac and the French 5th Army take on Karl von Berlo, the 2nd German Army's general. Over the course of a single day, August 22nd, that was today, some 27,000 French soldiers died at Ardennes and Ciroli. And later in the battle, Van Berlo's men, joined by the German 3rd Army led by General Max Clemens von Hausen, which was over the night of August 22nd, brought four fresh corps and 340 new guns into action. It was just not a good situation for the French at this point. The French 5th Army, in turn, was due to be supported by the newly arrived British Expeditionary Force. A British delay in poor relations, however, meant that instead of supporting the French, the British were forced to fight their own action at the Battle of Mons beginning tomorrow, August 23rd. But yes, the French were expecting support. They did not get it. They were outnumbered, outgunned, and the Germans were just generally more prepared for war at that time than the French. So the French suffered massive casualties on this day. And after Ciroli, the roads swollen with Belgian refugees heading for French Army headquarters, learned on August 23rd that the French Army was collapsing all along the line. And it really was. It was just not ready for war on this scale. With its own army pushed to its limits, they made the decision, without consulting French headquarters, to order a general retreat. And like I said before, when armies in this day would call for retreats, that's usually when the attacking armies would get a lot more aggressive and go in for the kill. And according to his own written account, General Lanzerac believed that the destruction of the Fifth Army would mean catastrophe for France. And as he told one of his officers, "We have been beaten, but the evil is repairable. As long as the Fifth Army lives, France is not lost." It was unfortunate then that they did see so many losses. While the French Army didn't question this decision at the time, tactically authorizing it, the general of the Fifth Army was later made a scapegoat for France's failure offensively. This battle was just tremendously costly to French forces. It was a costly failure indeed for France. Some 70 divisions, or about 1.25 million men, saw combat over the course of 4 days, with total casualties at about 140,000, twice the number of the entire British Expeditionary Force in France at that time. And that doesn't even account for people that have to take care of those casualties as well, because, you know, with every injury, it might take two men to take him off of the field. It might take two or three men to take care of him in the medic tent. So there's no telling how many men that took out of the fight. There's a lot of debate on the French side of whether or not any mistakes were made in calling that retreat. I think historically, just in my opinion, it was probably not the best idea, but they really didn't have much of another choice. The German army, as I've said before, was really the most powerful army in the world at the time. There wasn't a whole lot the less powerful French army could do against it. They really, really needed the support of those British troops, and the British were not supporting the French in such a capacity to be able to resist the very, very powerful German army. There's also a lack of coordination between artillery and infantry that really needed to be remedied. They hadn't really figured out how to utilize artillery properly like the Germans had. French President Raymond Poincaré wrote in his diary the same day, "We must take up our minds both to retreat and to invade. So much for the illusions of the last fortnight. Now the future of France depends on her powers of resistance." And indeed it did, because the Germans were at the gate and ready to invade. And again, World War One was the war where the Germans were the big dogs. They were the big scary force that probably the most powerful army in the world at the time. Maybe the British were a bit stronger. Maybe America was a bit stronger, but they would have had to gotten a whole lot of troops overseas, which eventually they did, sort of at the end of World War One. But anyway, this has been a little history segment, a brief little talk about the Battle of the Frontiers, the series of four battles fought by France and Germany that resulted in a lot of French casualties and really eventually resulted in French retreating and fighting a defensive war for the remainder of the war. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Remember, if you like these little history segments that I do, you can find them online at our website, kggfradio.com. Click on the community tab and go down to On Demand, and then find a little history segment that sounds interesting to you.